Blog Talk Radio.
There's a voice that cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all. He wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate and longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all. He wants it all. And he says, love me. Love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idol. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth. Searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he says, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today.
Shalom. How's everybody doing out there? Welcome to Blog Talk. We are on Brothers V Blog Talk, and we're on the Blueprint for Life. My name is Renald Adams, and I'm just here to spread the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of Ahiah, Ashar Ahiah. Before we get started, we can go to our Father in prayer to us how we should pray and what manner we should pray. We will be facing Jerusalem. We'll hear all the time we'll be facing east, which in our case we're saying Jerusalem is east, but if you go further down south, or if you go upper west, remember, we're always looking to face Jerusalem. Men, we will have our heads uncovered when we are talking to our Father, because he is the head of our temple. Women, we will, and we do this because we love him. It's a commandment and we want to be obedient. That being said, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. But lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Our Father has the power, the kingdom, and all the glory forever. We come to you humbly, asking for you to hear our prayers, that iniquity and sin will not be found in us, that your face won't be hidden from us, that our prayer will not fall on deaf ears, that we are trying to build up your kingdom today, spread the good news, which is the gospel of your kingdom coming here. And we pray this all in your son's name, Yeshua HaMashiach. So be it. Amen. So today, the lesson is on 501c3, churches. It'd be better said, the 501c3 congregations. Before we get started, we're going to go to a couple of scriptures to get our minds set on some things. Then we're going to go into what the world is and says what 501c3 is. And then we'll come back to those scriptures a little bit later after we have a better understanding. And again, all those things that we need to get, we should get understand. Revelation 18:4. Then I heard a voice from heaven say, come out of her, my people, so you won't share in her sins, and you won't be partakers of her plagues. In Jeremiah 51:45, again, it's come out of her, out of her, my people. Go out in the midst of her, my people, so you'll save your life from the fierce anger of Ahiah. So, in the past, we know when Jeremiah was prophesying about that they went in captivity of Babylon. We know a whole generation there had to be killed off because they were not following the commandments. Lovers of themselves, idolatry. His commandment then was to come out of her. Again, we're talking about that physically as well as spiritually. To come out of her, my people. The next thing we're going to look at is Matthew 7:15-20. And I'm going to be reading, I'll be using the King James Version. It tells you to beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Ye shall not know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? And that's a question for you, brothers and sisters. Verse number 17. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. And we will come back to that. That's Matthew 7:15-20, using the King James Version. When we're going through this lesson, we're going to look at what is the good fruit. And again, good means the word of Ahiah. That's the only thing that you know to be good. Just like Yeshua said to the rich young ruler, why did you call me good? There's only one good but the Father. His word is good. So the fruit is what gets brought out, what's bared out. If I plant an apple tree, it will bear out abundance of apples. It wouldn't bear out oranges, grapes, etc. and it wouldn't bear out, as the word would say. If it's a good apple tree, it's not going to bear out something negative or poisonous. Now we're looking at 501c3. Before the 501c3 was put in place by Lyndon B. Johnson in 1954, pastors, preachers, they already had, as far as their revenue, a write-off for that. But in 1954, by President Lyndon B. Johnson, he signed a legislation to get churches and other organizations, nonprofit designation through Internal Revenue Service, which we call the IRS. And this designation, back in 1954, helped the congregations, which we call today churches, be able to get more stuff. They were able to buy buildings and land under that 501c3 designation, where they wouldn't be taxed. Cars, their salaries, all this stuff is tied in to the 501c3 now. And if we look back at what place that took in is 1954. So many, many days ago. Another law that's on the books, but it's not talked about too strenuously, is May 31st, 1961. This was a law put in place by JFK. So the Supreme Court upheld it. That's the Sunday law. They call it the Blue Laws. Those laws are basically say that the day of worship, the day that you're supposed to keep to your Creator, is the most high day will be Sunday. It wouldn't be the Sabbath day. You're supposed to honor that. It's not a law that was enacted or enforced yet, but it is on your books in this nation that we call America. We're going to fast forward a little bit. In the year 2006, March 7, 2006, President Bush put in place by Executive Order Number 13397 that the congregation, or what we call today a church, as a government agency under the control of the Department of Homeland Security. 1 year prior to that, John Paul II, the Pope, said the church and state can and must collaborate. And you can find that written in the Vatican City. That was in March 17, 2005, in Zentech, ZENIT.org. So we see that President Bush made an executive order 2006 that makes the church as a government agency under the control of Homeland, Department of Homeland Security. We see a 501c3, the designation of the Lyndon B. Johnson. You know, there are Sunday laws in place. They're not being enforced. And you can see that again, March 31st, 1961. So these are laws that are in place in the land, if you're in America, that we're in today. The importance of this, we're going to go back into a little bit in our past. We'll look at the vernal day of the sun. And with the vernal day of the sun, we'll read this. Thus we learn in Socrates that the public worship is held in the churches of Constantine on both days. The view of the Christian Lordship Day, or Sunday, is that when the Christian Sabbath deliberate transferred from the seventh to the first day of the week. Does not indeed find categorical expression to a much later period. The earliest recognition of the observance of Sunday as a legal duty is a constitution of Constantine in AD 321, enacting that all courts of justice, inhabitants of towns and workshops were to be at rest on Sunday, Vernus de Solis. with the exception in favor of those engaged in agricultural labor. The Council of Laodicea, 363 AD, forbid Christians from Judaizing and resting on a Sabbath day, preferring Sunday being the Lord's day. You can find that also in Encyclopedia Britannica, 1899 edition, volume 23, page 64. We also see the Council of Antioch, 341 AD, prohibit Christians from celebrating Ahias Passover with Israel, or what you'll say, Jews. The Council of Laodicea forbid Christians from observing any of Ahias' feast days whatsoever. Most interesting thing about, you look at the Council of Antioch in 341 A.D., you can look at the word when it says Acts 11:26 that they were first called Christians in Antioch. Be careful of what name you want to take upon yourself, especially if it's not the name that was given to you from Ahia. When I'm doing this teaching, I'm going to give you a quick insight about myself, maybe about 3 minutes. I come from the background of the Churches of Christ. I was a minister inside Church of Christ for many years, maybe 5 or 6. Taught against the Most High's words and commandments, his laws, statutes. I taught that Sunday was a day of worship. I taught that that his feast days and his times were no longer in observance, that when he died on the cross, that stuff was done away with. One of the things I did, it was study to show myself approved. I wanted to be a workman, and I wanted to test all the things they had, and I had problems with different things that that you find in Sunday worship or Churches of Christ or anything that meets on Sunday. So what I did was I took the things that we call Paul, his writings, and I lined them up to the Word and saw there were differences, and I knew I had to obey the Word. So that got me out of the churches that met on Sunday, and I started keeping my Father's Sabbath, understanding that the whole world was lied to, and I understood I had inherited a pack of lies, and I needed to follow the commandments if I loved them. Right now, it's me keeping these commandments and walking as best as I can in the law statutes, so when I get judged, I have a proper judgment, and hopefully I'll be found worthy to enter the Father's kingdom. Call me, first of all, foremost, a servant of the Most High, a friend or a brother. I'm not yet will be an elder. Like I said, Brother V is the elder. Him and his wife came down one, not this Sabbath, the last Sabbath, and we share our time together trying to, again, increase our Father's kingdom, making sure that me and him could walk in accordance together. But my family is not at that point they need to be. I think many of us like to cart before the horse. So my family still needs to become into this truth. And that's part of me being obedient to the Most High. I understand that if I keep spreading this gospel, that he'll make the increase. And if he increased one, two, or all of them, they'll be the more better off than me trying to give them a title that they have not earned and don't understand, or give myself the title I haven't earned. So, again, we try to do everything decently in order. I'm your brother. Ahia is my teacher. And if you wanted to call me, like Peter said, a Christian, the only way you could call me that is this is the same way that you're calling Yeshaya, that I'm keeping all the laws, statutes, and commandments, because I am a Hebrew Israelite. So I understand what I am, what I'm supposed to be, and where I'm supposed to be growing to. So people get upset when they don't hear the word that I say I'm a Christian, but I am a Hebrew Israelite. They get upset about these things. These are terminologies that were put down. The only terminology you need to have The only thing you need to keep is what the Most High has already told you to do. Going back to our lesson, the things we first talked about was the Council of, last thing we talked about was the Council of Antioch, the Council of Laodicea, all talking about the 501c3 that we have. Now, the 501c3, the biggest law of the land that just got passed is that homosexuality is legal. You can same-sex get married in any part in the land that we live in today. Basically, it's okay. We see in the law, Leviticus 18, Leviticus 20, that those things are forbidden. You're not supposed to do it. But yet, they say these things are fine. They're Corbin. We've seen in the March 7, 2006, in his legislation, the government agency, the Department of Homeland Security, that all churches are working as an agency. Taking that money, the root of all evil is a love of money. So they're in the same bed with the enemy. Now we're going to talk about who our enemy is. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1 through 4. Would ye, God, ye call bear me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have exposed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For he have not cometh preaching another Yeshua, for he have not cometh preaching another Savior, whom we have not preached, or ye received another Spirit, which we have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. We also see in Genesis that the serpent was more so than all the other beasts of the field. So when we're looking at this, and we say that the serpent is subtle, we look at the time frame that we live in. We can go all the way back to the laws that happened in 30 AD under Diocletian, another Roman emperor, that happened around 296 AD. He killed many Israelites for keeping the Sabbath day. Under Constantine, it became something different. But under that law, where the Roman sun was, Europe, Italy, Germany, parts of Africa. If you were an Israelite, if you were one that kept the Sabbath day, that could have been under the penalty of death, persecution. And that's what was on the path. When we say that Satan is subtle, and he put all those rules and laws into place, and we see that the 501c3 for all these churches were in place and built upon all the way back in 1954. A Sunday law is put in place all the way back in 1961 that's on the books and just not been enforced yet. We also see that in 1940s that your birthright through the Vatican and through this country we call, this nation we call America, even helped steal your birthright. Even the very elect, even the ones that can read the word today and come close to thinking that they are Israel, because there's another group of people that's called themselves Israeli, masking around to be you and I, that stole the birthright that we can read out the scriptures that we fit all the veins, tears for Israel to be. we can see brothers and sisters that have been in the Word for a long time have come so close to saying and say, but I just can't see us being Israel. See, the adversary is subtle, and he's building up for the same thing that we're preaching about, what is good, the gospel that of the kingdom. And he's building up to fight against Yeshua. And he's going to confuse you. The same reason why we could tell brothers and sisters when we say that we're waking up to understand who we are and things like that, that those things are put in place back in the 1940s. They're bearing fruit right now. Unrighteous fruit. We can see the 501c3 that was put in place, that's going to bear fruit. A lot of people talk about the FEMA camps and all the things that's going to come in control. But the Homeland Security, when those laws do get suspended, will be underneath FEMA. And the churches are going to be government agencies for that. So some of the first places that you'll see Israel, and again, we're talking about our Judah, black brothers and sisters, they're going to run to these congregations. They're going to run to these churches. There will be government agencies. They'll be under that jurisdiction of a 501c3. And the reason why we understand that he's subtle and he's deceiving us, because it's like a slow-acting Novocaine. We're going to go looking for good fruit. We're going to be going looking for that word, and it won't be there, because unrighteous fruit or bad fruit can never produce. Keep looking at the word. And one of the things we're going to look at now is what is a beast? Because we're about to go to Revelation 13. And in chapter 7 of Daniel, he had a vision of four beasts that came out of the sea. And the beasts represent kings and or kingdoms. I don't think you have a kingdom without a king. I don't think you have a king without a kingdom. They go hand in hand. They're simultaneous with each other. So we understand when we get ready to read Revelation 13 that when he talks about what the beasts are, he's actually talking about a kingdom. And the king. Going to one last place before we go on to that executive order responsibilities of the Department of Homeland Security with respect to faith-based community initiatives. And again, we're looking at the executive order number 13997. And I'm going to read a little bit of this for you. By the authority vested in me as president by the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America, in order to help the federal government coordinate a national effort to expand opportunities for faith-based and other community organizations and to strengthen their capacity to better meet America's social and community needs, it is hereby ordered as follows. Section 1. Establish a center of faith-based community initiative at the Department of Homeland Security, and that part of Homeland Security is underlined. Section 1A, the Secretary of Homeland Security shall establish, again underlined within the Department of Homeland Security, a center of faith-based and community initiatives. Section 1B, the center shall be supervised by a director appointed by the Secretary. The Secretary received a consult with the Director of the White House Office of Faith-Based Community Initiatives, and they call this the FBCI, Director, prior to making such appointments. Section number 2, and this is my favorite section, the purpose of the center. The purpose of the center shall be to coordinate agency efforts to eliminate regulatory counteracting and other programmatic obstacles to the participation of faith-based and other community organizations in the provision of a social and community service. All right. I have a good little grasp on the English language, but who knows what that means? Section 2, the purpose of the censor. The purpose of the censor shall be to coordinate agency efforts to eliminate. Well, if I went to the bathroom, I'll eliminate waste, stains, discard them so I can get rid of them. Regulatory. Regulatory, like you have a regulatory system inside your body, make sure everything is operating at a good function. Contraacting. So something is going against what the regulatory is, and other programmic obstacles. So whatever is in the program, patient of a faith-based organization, they want to eliminate it. If it's counteracting against it, whatever their regulatory is, and their faith-based communities, that's what they'll look to eliminate. A whole bunch of words put together to get you confused. But what we say, on their books, 1961, there's the blue laws that says that your day of worship needs to be on Sunday. All right? If you're keeping the Father's Sabbath day, you have a problem right there. You may have to go to jail or suffer any other kind of consequences. The law that just passed, that homosexuality is a law of the land, if you're preaching against that, if you're in bed with the 501c3s, churches, you might as well say that you're in favor of that being the law of this land because you are a government agency on that behalf with that doctrine. Those of us who are outside of that or preaching against that, again, they want to, as the words say, eliminate anything that's counteracting their program. Dietary law. If we are going ahead and saying that we need to keep what the Father tells us what to put inside our temple versus what the FDA is saying, again, they need to eliminate anything that's contradicting their program. March 7, 2006, Executive Order number 13997, it continues to go down to Section 4, Reporting Requirements, Responsibility to the Center of Faith-Based Community Initiative, that's number 3. I just wanted to give you a little bit of reading of it because that's one of the laws that you have that's over you. And the 501c3 organizations, churches, are in bed with that, and they're supposed to be up handling that because under that order, they are now a government agency with the Department of Homeland Security. And again, as we're talking about fruit, it's going to take time for that to bear out, but it's going to grow to being that fruit. Now we're at Revelation chapter 13. We're going to start at verse 1 using King James verse. Upon the sand of the sea. And we talk about the sand being the land where you're looking at in the sea, being the ocean of people. As many people you see, like we say in America, it'd be millions, some places billions. And I saw a beast rise out of the sea. And we understand in Daniel that a beast is a government. It's a kingdom. Right? Satan was more subtle than any of the beasts on the field. As we look at the word, the adversary showed Yeshua all the kingdoms of the world, not some, not part, all of them, where he was in control of them. Just bow down to me. Then again in Ezekiel, we also see the king of Tyrus, that beast, Satan is in charge of all those kingdoms. He's under that. Ever since, when I go back to the king of Tyrus, already since, but the Garden of Eden. Back at Revelation chapter 13, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his head, the name of blasphemy. Again, what is the name of blasphemy? Blasphemy is saying the Most High and his words are not true. Everything from gay marriage, everything from no Sabbath day, you don't need a rest. The list can go on and on. Chapter 13, verse number 2. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and a dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it was wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And the world wondered after the beast. So this great nation that's a representative of Satan was wounded to death. So we believe that beast at one point was going to die, was close to death, but his wound healed. And everybody wondered after that beast. Verse number 4. And they worshiped the dragon. And again, the dragon is Satan, which gave power unto the beast, which is a nation. And they worshiped Satan, which gave power unto a nation. And they worshiped the beast. Beast meaning nation, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. We can go on to a whole lesson on the 42 months, looking at Thessalonians, looking at the Old Testament scriptures, but we're not going to focus on that. We're focusing on something else. Verse number 6, he opened his mouth and blasphemed against Ahiah. And in the word it says God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Again, if you don't know who the saints are, you're talking about us, Israel. And to overcome them. And power was given him in nations. So we're going to look at verse 6 and verse 7. He opened his mouth and blasphemed against God to blaspheme his name. So to blaspheme his name, you can put a different name in there. You'll put names there that in some cases, for example, we'll put Jesus. And as the word says, you'll be worshiping another Jesus. You're saying that that false name is going to bring you salvation. Before that, it'll say it's blasphemy. So talk about Jesus. If you're in the Christian churches, he kept the Sabbath day, Luke 4:16. He taught you no other word that came out of his mouth. He said, abide in my love, keep the commandments as I kept the Father's commandments. But you teach another Jesus, you'll be teaching that you don't have to keep the commandments. They're done away with. You give a whole bunch of excuses why. That goes for Yeshua or Yeshaya. Whatever name you're saying, it better mean you're keeping the commandments. I say Yeshaya. I say Ahaya because I look at Exodus 3. Even if I look at, for example, if you go to John 10. He'll tell you from the start, he'll say, I am. Again, we're looking at him saying, Ahaya. So I keep those names because those are the names that were given to me. But when he talks about, they'll be saying blaspheme against his name in his tabernacle, he's going to dwell with here on this planet. Not some futuristic planet, not somewhere up in the stars, but here. That's where he'll tabernacle with us. And they're saying that the kingdom that he's creating, that would be the same in heaven as it here in earth, should be different. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. We are the elect. We are the saints. We come from Jacob. One man with four different women made up Israel. You are of your father's seed. If you look on TV nowadays, if you look at when we first went in captivity, this nation, this beast, which has a representation of an eagle, if you look at the Vatican City, their representation of their beast will be a dragon. If you look at the representation of Russia, their beast they represent will be a bear. So on and so on and so forth. So, under this nation, a war eagle over the saints kills us on a weekly basis, monthly basis, daily basis. You can see it on TVs. You can see it on shows. There are plagues and everything. They got to chase down us, even though the Most High put us over here. They're being way more unrighteous against us than this Most High even gave them authority to be. And he gives all power over all kindreds, all kinds, all tongues, anything you speak in any nation, any kingdom. We're going to pick up at number 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose name was not written in the book of life of the land, slain from the foundation of the world. We know in the beginning in the garden, there was a tree of life. His name can't be written in that book, because in the book that you have here, you'll get cancer, diabetes, and everything from your life. He's trying to end your life. Planned Parenthood. Before you even get out of the womb, this adversary is already trying to chase us in Israel. Number 9. If any man have an heir, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And that's you, Israel. Have patience and faith. Those are the things. Those are the spirits that we get from the Most High. America led us into captivity, and all of the Gentiles that helped lead us into captivity, they will be put into captivity. Those that killed us, Israel, by the sword will be killed by the sword. Number 11, and I beheld another beast coming out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb and spoke as a dragon. So this beast that came out of the earth, not the first beast, but the second beast, he spoke as a dragon. So he spoke as Satan. And he said he was like a lamb. Who was our lamb? Yeshua is our lamb. He died for our sins. They give us another one here in this land that said he died for our sins. But he spoke as a dragon. In this land, for fact, tells you not to keep the Sabbath day. For fact, it tells you to do abominational acts, gay marriage, gay rights. For fact, it tells you that Israel, you are not Israel, that you're just, and use American words, 3/5 a man, a slave. For a fact, it tells you that you do not have to keep your body holy, that putting things that were sacrificed to idols is okay, not see abominations on it. They'll tell you to eat as much pig, much shellfish, red lobster, whatever thing you want to think of. Every blasphemy, everything that Satan speaks, this nation speaks. Number 12, he exercised all the power of the first beast before him. He caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He exercised all the power of the first beast before him. So the Roman Catholic Church, the Rome was the first beast, and that wound was healed. They sit in the UN as the only power that sits there as religious as well as a nation. And this country gives power to that beast. Number 13, he doeth great wonders. So he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. So the second beast does great wonders to make fire come down from heaven onto the earth in the sight of men. I mean, we've seen when we bombed Hiroshima, Nagasaki, big mushroom cloud, the fire that goes up to the sky, and every nation bows down of the great power they've seen and the wonders that we had with the splitting of that atom. Number 14, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles, which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell in the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, which had a wound by a sword and did live. So, all our images. You can't turn on a TV and not see false images. They'll put our words from the letter that was written to Israel, our private letter that was written to Israel, that we're supposed to share out to all the other nations. And they'll put false images, false words, blasphemy to that stuff, and having us worship those things that have no power. Verse number 15. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. But the image of the beast should be both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. The right hand, your action, your deeds, the things that you'll do with this fleshly body, and your foreheads, your thoughts, the things that are going to corrupt the spirit from being unrighteous. He'll call both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in the right hand. I can't tell you for a fact. You got a lot of people saying that it's going to be identity chip. I know America and other places like that, they don't care about no poor. The poor, they can't get no identity chip. So it's going to be everybody. Everybody's going to be able to get that mark. You got to understand, Satan is subtle. It's going to be something. And I tell you the truth, prophesying to the wind, the valley of dead bones, that everybody will be hearkening to go into these 501c3 churches for freedom. They'll be going there because they'll think that's a salvation. You'll take the guys that are drug dealers on the streets. You'll take the hardest homies. You'll take whatever kind of nationality or person you want to think of. They'll be going to these places for salvation. They'll be turned over, because they already are, into government hands. And then that mark that we're going to have to take is going to be part of your thoughts. It's going to be part of your actions. Verse number 17, that no man might be able to buy or sell, say that he has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So, if you're able to say the name, you'll be able to buy or sell. If you have that mark on side of you, in your body, you'll be able to buy or sell. If you just know his name, you'll be able to buy or sell. Foremost, Israel, keep your body as a holy temple. So if they tell you to put anything inside your temple, you understand that's going against the Most High. There's only one name that can give you salvation. So if someone comes to you in the kingdom and tell you to say this name for salvation, the same way that that subtle beast took Yeshua and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, you're going to be having the same choice. Being shown all the kingdoms and be able to say that name will give you salvation. You got to understand that's false. Number 18. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for his number of a man, his number is 666. One thing I want to liken it to you, Israel, to my brothers and sisters, that just like we count time, and a lot of people, if they got some understanding, some are still off, they count time by the sun. And if we know the count of time, let's go for a 30-day period, that for a fact, that sun's going to raise up in that 30-day period, exactly 30 days. The moon could be a little iffy. It could be dark for a couple of days. A full moon could be out for 3 days, 2 days, 1 day, or it could go into a little half-orbital shape of the moon. So it might go longer, could go shorter. But the sun is a perfect reflection, and we are the witnesses of the Most High. Right? We are a reflection of him. So just like the sun is a reflection, just like the moon is a reflection of the sun, and it's a witness of that time of the fathers, we are too also a reflection of Yeshua. We're supposed to reflect off of what he is. He's perfect in everything he does. And we're just a little bit off. So just like the sun and the moon, stars, are the prophets, we too, Israel, are unlike the sun. We're not perfect, but we also got to prophesy to the valley of dead bones of what's going on. So we understand that there's great power given to this beast, that Satan rules all these kingdoms. And everything that he's doing is to get ready for war for Yeshua and destroy off Israel. Unless the Father sped up time, no flesh would be saved. So the Father, even in the wasting of our times and our days when we say everything is going by quicker and faster, that's for the glory of Ahiah. If he's doing that, so we would be saved. That we won't know this death. That we won't know what it is to be separated from him, with those that's willing to keep his commandments. 501c3 churches. They're in bed as a government agency with a beast. A nation that does not bear good fruit. It's not because I'm saying it. It's because you can look back in history and look back from the time we were in slavery, Israel. Did it bear out good fruit then? Did it bear out good fruit when we had World War I or World War II, when most of our blacks got killed in the back? Did it bear out good fruit during Civil War times, when they quote-unquote said you were free, but you went right back into another form of oppression and slavery? Did it bear out good fruit in the 1960s when Lyndon B. Johnson, I could give a whole nother lesson to that, when he signed the Civil Rights Act when Martin Luther King was there. Hey, do you still have civil rights, Israel? Did that law they made in 1964 for civil rights, did that bear out good fruit for you? Or our brothers and sisters or our children receiving all the same rights as a Filipino coming right from another country that can step foot in here today, as a Hispanic man or woman that comes to this country today, as a white person in this country today. No, Israel, there's a difference. That civil rights law still didn't bear out no righteous fruit or any good fruit for you. In 1954, will that legislation they have in 501c3, will that bear out good fruit or be unrighteous fruit? Will the 1961 law, when they enforce it about only worshiping on Sunday, will that bear out good fruit for you, Israel? One thing I don't want people to get misunderstood. I'm not like all these other people in the world. If you say that you're Israel and you're going to keep the Father's law, statutes, commandments, that is fine with me. There was Yeshaya when he was teaching a Roman centurion, again, a white Italian. Had to be a white man, Italian. Centurion in the Roman Empire said he had good faith. He was willing to keep the commandments. Now, if that was good enough for the Creator, Yeshaya, if it was good for enough in Acts when he sent Peter to Cornelius, another Italian white, then if I have any brother and sister want to keep the commandments, to keep my family alive, I keep their family alive, to make sure, again, I call them a friend, make sure I'm not putting poison inside of my temple, to make sure that I'm not falling under the jurisdiction of this dragon, then I will call them brother. And then when we get passed on, when we get to judgment, it's up to Yeshaya to tell them where they go. It'll be up to Yeshaya to tell me if I'm going with Judah, if I'm going with Benjamin, if I'm going with Levi, whatever. Well, Yeshaya to tell me that. Only thing I have to do is live faithfully day upon day. With that being said, we're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 1. We're getting close to the end of the lesson. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. On what days? The last days. Before Yeshua comes back, in the last days of this planet, perilous times will come. For men shall be lovers of themselves. Well, you know, in America, they got homosexuality. Homo means same, sexual means sex, lover yourself, right there. But I think it's a more broader term than that anyway. For men should be lovers of themselves, covetous, boisterous, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy, without natural affection, accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Again, what is good? Those that keep the commandments, without natural affection. Again, the law that was put in place, is that natural or unnatural? Again, that's what we'll be looking for in the last day, unnatural affection. Traitors, petty, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That was number four that I just read. Does that look like the world that we're in right now? You can see porn and anything that you want to. The TV is flooded with images. There is no such thing, if you live in this world, as God. There's multiple gods. We that are of the faith, we know there's a higher. We know he is a true architect of everything that's on this planet. And that's the reason why we say we want to keep his commandments. Everything else is way short of that. Number five, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. For such, turn away. But what should you do? Turn away. There are 501c3. Turn away. I don't care if they call themselves Israel. I don't care if they say they keep the Sabbath day. If they're part of the 501c3 thing like that, they're telling you lies and falsehoods because you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve two masters. So if they're serving this beast that's controlled by Satan, turn away from them. Number six, for this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Janus and Jambres withstood Moses, so did these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, world break concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as there also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, persecutors of affliction, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Again, this is Paul talking about his different journeys and different things that happened and all the persecutions that happened there. But who delivered him was Yeshua. Yea, verse number 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecutions. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue, though in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Number 15, and that from a child that has known the holy scriptures, which able to make these wise unto salvation through the faith which is in Christ. All scripture, not some, not part, not the scriptures that were done away with and you to bring forward, not the scriptures that only your mama had, not just the scriptures from the New Testament. Again, listen to this. Number 16, all scripture is given by the inspiration of Ahia, and is profitable for doctrine. So, Exodus 20 is profitable for doctrine. Leviticus 11 is profitable for doctrine. Leviticus 23, profitable for doctrine. Leviticus 18, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So, Leviticus 11 tells me it's good for correction on what I should eat and what I should not eat. Leviticus 18, it tells me what sex I should have, what marriage I have is good for correction. Leviticus 23, the highest feast days, is good for reproof, it's good for correction. That on the Sabbath day is a feast day that we're supposed to come together. In Hebrews 10:25, do not forsake the assembly of ourselves. There are three high days, holy days, that the men of Israel are commanded to come and keep. But one of the days that we're commanded to keep is the Sabbath day. You're commanded to keep that day. Unless I'm mistaken, you look at Leviticus 23, verse 3 and 4, the first one it mentions is that weekly Sabbath. We're supposed to come together. We're supposed to build up this kingdom. We're supposed to spread the gospel of good news. We're supposed to be able to cast out demons, spirits that are unholy and unclean. We're supposed to be able to lay hands on each other inside of our cities, our communities, and our homes. The only way we're going to learn as a people to come up out of her, so we won't be partakers of her plagues, is to come together and figure it out. I'm talking or doing this lesson. My telephone number is 831-601-2905. Me and my brother will get together on this Sabbath day coming up. That'll be July 4th. Anybody that wants to come, that want to keep commandments, they're welcome. Because it's our goal, our plan, to get up out of her. Not to be partakers of her. When it says come out of her, the same thing that Jeremiah said to Judah when they were going to Babylon. Their goal was had to come up out of her. Our goal is to have to come out of it. America is going to kill you. If you don't know it, look around, come on your TV, look at what cancer is doing, look at what diabetes is doing, look what high blood pressure is doing, because when you have all these things with you, if you go to any doctor, the first thing they're going to tell you to go back to take care of your temple is actually your dietary level. If you've got congestive heart failure, they can tell you stop eating pills. I mean, they're going to tell you to turn back to what is righteous in order for you to live. So we got to come out of her, because there's nothing that's going to keep us alive in this country. But we are never going to learn to come up out of her and keep the commandments, these laws and statutes, if we stay separate and apart. Again, number 16. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of Ahiah may be perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good works. The only good work you have is to further the Father's kingdom. If you're not living to further the Father's kingdom, and you say that you're keeping his commandments, you're an error. Remember, Israel, a little leaven can ruin the whole lump. Good fruit cannot stay with bad fruit. So if there's someone teaching you in the house of Jacob, in the house of Israel, that you should not come together, they're not bearing out good fruit. If there's anybody teaching you that you should not be baptized so that you can't have a multitude of your sins washed away, that you won't stay in the same state of sin, that you won't linger, come out of them. If there's someone teaching you to assemble, not to gather, like it tells you in the Word, come up out of them. We got to keep the commandments. That's the only thing that's going to give us salvation. It's the only thing that's going to give us peace. It's the only thing that's going to get us out of this unrighteous kingdom, you know, to see the glory that's awaited for us, that we can get our inheritance that was promised to us. I understand for a fact I am Yeshua's inheritance, and I understand that he has an inheritance for me being that. The 501c3, there's a lot of things being speak about it now, because they're looking at the gay marriage law that just got passed. But remember, Satan is subtle. And the only thing you're seeing is the tip of the iceberg. You're fighting against principalities and powers that a lot of us will never, ever truly comprehend. Some of these things are in place, like the vulnerable day of the sun back in 300 A.D. America put in their same books, 1961 A.D. These things are building upon themselves, waxing worse and worse and worse. If you stay in America, if we're not coming together to unite to find out how we can come up out of her so we won't be partakers of her sin, partakers of her iniquities, partakers of her plague, we're doing ourselves a disservice if we say we know the word. I have brothers that's in this county right now, I think it's about four of them, that will go off on a Sabbath day and talk to strangers living in the same state that we're in. At what point in time are we going to wake up to the point that we realize that going to work every day to improve America's kingdom is not our purpose? When are we going to wake up to understand that to improve, if it's Nissan, Apple, if it's Army, if it's a hospital, if it's Enron, none of those things are to improve the Father's kingdom. We need to wake up to understand that we need to come together. So when we improve the kingdom, it's going to be actually improving us. That we are that sign. We are his. We are a witness of the Most High. So we need to learn how to separate. The whole thing of our focus should be coming together so we can leave this wicked land, leave these wicked people, come together unless we unite under the words of the highest, humble ourselves one to another so we can have a good fellowship on how we can come out of this battle. If we can't humble ourselves, we can't come together. It may not be the generation I'm talking to. It may be our children that might have to partake in these plagues. So, with that, I'm going to say shalom. Peace to all the 12 tribes of Israel that scattered to the four winds. I want to say thank you to my brother V. I look forward to us breaking bread on the Shabbat. I look forward to hopefully anybody to hear this reaching out, that we learn to come together, unite, and further our Father's kingdom with one goal, and that's life. Again, shalom, peace, be with all of you.